phone this morning will be $199. With every song this morning, let's sing the first two verses of each song. Verses 1 and 2 of each song.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see when my Lord is living in me. You know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Never more will I be all alone, says he. Promise me that we never would part. Green grass and flowers all blooming in springtime are words of the Master I live for each day. Know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Never more will I be all alone, says he. Promise he that we never would part.
For opening prayer, turn to 2:30. Again, first and second.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels cross a fall. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, all-powerful, and all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Humble and thankful, Father, that we've all here been blessed with another day of life, another opportunity that upon the first day of the new week as commanded, Father, that we can openly assemble together and that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning. Our Father, we're so thankful here for our congregation, Lord. We pray that You would continue to bless us all, Father. Bless our elders, our deacons. Bless all those that teach and lead and preach. And bless all those, Father, that help to serve Thee here, whether or not they may have an official title or not, Lord, for we know that there are a lot of people that contribute to our congregation here at Cross Street, Lord. Our Father, we ask at this time, Lord, that as our brother Norman will stand before us here in a few moments and will bring us a portion of Thy Word, that we would listen attentively and open our hearts to the things that he's going to say, Father. We ask that you would bless him with a good remembrance of that which he's prepared to speak about this morning. And as we listen to thy word, Father, that we may open up our hearts, study and reflect so that what's said we'll know is true, and that ultimately we'll incorporate these things into our life, Father, so that we can be better and stronger servants unto Thee. Our Father, we're also mindful, Lord, of all those that are mentioned as being sick, Father. There were quite a few names that were mentioned, Lord, and we have a long, long sick list that's listed as well, Father. So we ask that You would wrap Your arms around each and every one of these individuals, Father, that You would comfort them, and if it would be Your will, that You could grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health. And our Father, we're also very mindful and thankful for all the many and rich, tremendous blessings of life that You've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. For we know that all things do indeed flow from Thee, and we'd ask, Father, that You'd help us to remember that all things indeed come from Thee, Father. And Lord, at this time, we ask that You would continue to be with us as we worship Thee in spirit and in truth this morning, that the songs and hymns that we sing would form a pleasing and pleasing melody unto Thine ear, Father. The words we speak, the portion of Thy word that's brought to us, would help enrich our lives and become better servants, Father. We'd also ask, Lord, that You would forgive us all of our sins and shortcomings and where we fall short, Father, as we repent and turn away from those things and try our best to not do them anymore. And Father, we also ask that in all things, not our will, but Thine will be done, Lord. Be with us throughout the furtherance of this worship service, Father. Continue to watch over and bless each of us, Father. And we ask these and all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Since we don't be here too long each time we meet, let's look at a little teaching process. Our brother Skip is gonna give you the message. You see these two flags on the wall over here, where you got the hymn, and then over here you got, the hymns, and then over here you got the scripture reference. Just imagine that's a scale, a calendar. Now, when you look in Acts, the second chapter, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, you over here, look at that one over there. You got eight of them up there. On the day of Pentecost, you see in John the 20th chapter, Jesus Christ had resurrected. When you go to Leviticus 23rd chapter, verses 15 and 16, on the day of Pentecost, meaning 50 days. Now, on the day of Pentecost in Acts, that was the same time of year in which that was instituted in under the law. Now, just imagine you got the calendar. The first one, you got eight of them there. The first one started to the left. On the first day of the week, get to the end, you got 7 days. The second one, look at the on the wall. The second one, you got 14 days. The third one, you got 28 days. The 21 days. The fourth one, you got 28 days. The fifth one, you got 35 days. The sixth one, you got 42 days. Now during that week, that's when Jesus Christ made his ascension, 40 days. Now you got the next one, and the seventh day, you get across to the end, you got 49 days. Now what does Acts says? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you only have 49 days there in those weeks. Now look at that eighth one, that last one. In order to get 50 days, you got to go back to the beginning of the week. And that's why we know on the day of Pentecost started was on the first day of the week. Now dropping down to Acts, after their conversion of the 3,000 souls, remember what they said there in verse 41, after they were added to the church in verse 41 and then verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and prayer and fellowship, breaking of bread. Now, what day of the week was that? On the first day of the week, you see, first time that what we about to do was observed on the first day of the week. That's why we know. It didn't say the first day of the week there, but we know that was on the first day of the week. When we go to Acts the 26th chapter, the 20th chapter, there about 25 years later, note what happened. When Paul came to Philippi, it says, when the disciples came together on which day of the week? The first day of the week. That was not on the day of Pentecost, because see, at this time they had sailed from Philippi in verse 1 after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So somewhere in the 16th chapter, Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost. So it was not on the Pentecost like on the day of Pentecost, but somewhere between that time when Paul disciples came together, it was on the first day of the week. So that's why each first day of the week when we come together, we partake of this bread, not one particular day, but just on the first day of the week. So today in 2020, we are on the first day of the week of this month. Next week, we will do the same, on the first day of the week. So at this time we have before us, just like when Christ instituted the two emblems before him in Matthew the 26th chapter, verse 26, you had the bread, which represents his body. You had the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. And they partook of it then at that time, and on the day of Pentecost, it was observed for the first time in the church. So we have the bread before us today that represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood. So at this time, we want to give thanks for the opportunity that we have at this time to observe this year in the year of 2020. Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that we have at this time to come together on this first day of the week to partake of these emblems before us, and that we partake of this bread. Let us let our mind reflect back to the cross and meditate upon the death that Jesus Christ died at that time and how that became the perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. Oh, kind Father in heaven, we are so humble this morning. On the first day of the week, we are able to recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And to thank you ever so much for this cup that represents his shed blood, the cup of salvation that was offered for all for the remission of sin. It is in Jesus' name that we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Amen. Song of invitation after Skippy's lesson this morning will be number 10 in the supplemental black books. And before our lesson and scripture reading, let's turn and sing number 255. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
The scripture reading this morning before the sermon, and the sermon is How to Live with the Weeds. The scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 13 and verses 24 through 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servants said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And now, Brother Skippy Norman.
Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. A wise, eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day. And now, Lord, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and realize that your word is powerful enough to save our souls. Just be with those that are listening, Heavenly Father, that at the conclusion of this message, of the things that they've fallen short of, Lord, give them the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me again, Heavenly Father, in your word. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to live with the weeds. In the English Standard Version, it uses the word weeds. In the King James Version, it uses the word tares. And the weeds I'm talking about, I'm not talking about that funny weed that you smoke. That's not the weed that we're going to be dealing with on this morning. A few weeks ago, me and my wife was looking at the flower bed, and when we put the flowers in, we make sure we got all the weeds. But then we went back out, and there was some weeds that had come up. And it caused me to think about this particular text. It caused me to start circulating in my mind about this text. As Christians, how many weeds have taken root in our lives? How many things have we poured our time and tension into that is choking out the spiritual fruit that we are trying to grow? How can we tell the difference between a weed and a flower when it's so easy to mistake one for the other? Nobody likes weeds. We do nothing and weeds come up. We spray like crazy and weeds come back. And we probably had weeds as long as we've been planting things. Weeds are highly adaptable. And have you ever noticed that weeds grow where other plants won't grow? So Jesus, he takes this very familiar scene in everyday life, and he applies it spiritually, and he calls it a parable, which is designed to make us think about spiritual things in a new way. The word parable means likeness. It is a comparison of two objects for the purpose of teaching. It's an excellent way of making difficult principles easily understood. And so this parable of the wheat and the tares, or the weeds, is to help us to understand, number one, the mystery of wickedness and how we can live with it. But then secondly, it shows us what's going to take place at the judgment day. So the parable of the tares among the wheat deals with the seed itself. The good seed was thrown by the farmer in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter 13. He said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who soweth good seed in his field. So the question comes, what is the seed? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the word of God. The good seed are the children of God. In Matthew 13 and verse number 38. The true saints, and if truth is preached, grace planted, sins washed away, souls sanctified, lives justified, and Christianity ordained, it will be because of the good seed. The good seed, the children of the kingdom, were scattered into the field and the world as the church was scattered abroad and took the seed of the kingdom and sowed it into the world in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1 through verse number 8. And so the kingdom of the church does what the sower is represented as doing. It sows the good seeds in the world to save souls. So when you look at verse 25, in verse 25, he says, while men slept, means the time when mankind usually asleep, and that would be the best and the likely time for the enemy to get in his evil work. It is by no means uncommon for malice in the east to show itself in this way. Wicked persons then and now, they used to do evil things in the dark so they won't be detected. Now they're doing things in the daytime. And so the tiles that the enemy used resemble wheat, except that the grains were black. The tiles was growing in such a way that the root entwined so that a man could not pull up one without pulling up the other. So what is the spiritual lesson this morning? What is the spiritual application that we need to have this morning? Number one is that weeds confuse the appearance of who is a believer and who is not. We've heard Jesus say it before in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The truth is that in the church as a whole, there are those that look like a believer on the outside but aren't redeemed on the inside. They are pretending to be Christians. You can sing the songs, you can talk the talk, but without the Spirit of God living inside you, you won't change on the inside. Your character won't be transformed. It'll be a cosmetic change. So it's confusing, because often we see the outside appearance of a person, and we don't know what is and what isn't going on the inside. So when we see someone that you think is a believer and acting in a way that is totally contrary to the character of Christ, it's hard to tell if that person just need to grow or if they're just pretending to be a Christian. So confusion set in, which works nicely in the enemy's plan. It's like dressing up the enemy soldier in friendly uniform, because they can infiltrate without being detected. So what do? Be observant. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 16 and 20, you'll know them by the fruit that they bear. But then secondly, weeds tangle the roots of real plants and impede growth. People that aren't redeemed are going to try to tangle you up in all kinds of stuff that won't help you grow closer to Almighty God. They will hinder your growth as a Christian. They will take your focus off the Lord. What do? Resist. Don't become entangled in that stuff that will take your eyes off the Lord. Use the word and what you know of Jesus, the character as a guide, and not the words of another person. But then, thirdly, weeds robs the soil of nutrients. When you don't have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit living inside you, then you would generate all kinds of energy focusing on what you shouldn't be focusing on. dividing the church, focusing more and more on the essential. I'm talking about the word. I'm talking about worship. I'm talking about fellowship, not on the things that only distract us from focusing on the Lord, getting fed and growing. But then weeds produce no fruit, but plenty of seeds. Persons who does not have Christ, who does not have the Holy Spirit, can be known eventually by the produce, because they have produced no fruit in their lives. They have produced no change in character. That shows that they are a child of God, but like weeds. Weeds plant many, they plant many seeds. Seeds of mistrust, seeds of iniquity, seeds of negative spirits. And if that is allowed is to take root in our hearts, we will not produce any fruit. But then weeds dry up quickly, but always present and return. Even when we think we are weed free, know that weeds will return. People you think have your best interest will stab you in the back. So that we must keep on guard. When I look at this man's personal enemy, deliberately and secretly, he sowed many weeds. Here is the question: why? Why did he do it? To make problems for the owner of the field. It's sad that some family members can't open up to one another about what they are really feeling and experiencing because of fear that some weeds in the Lord's house who can't stop spreading just like the enemy. Truth be known, there was enough difference. As the growing proceeded, that psalm informed servant recognized the presence of the weeds. If you're not careful, some folk will mess up your crop. If you're not careful, some folk will steal your joy. There was the enemy who messed up the crop. So who is this enemy? The Bible tells us. Look at verse 39. In verse 39 of Matthew 13, he says, the enemy who sold them is the devil. It's right there in the text. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is there so much evil in our hearts? Why is there so much evil in our families? Even in the church, because we are still letting the devil have his way. So we got to understand, how do we live with the weeds? What do we do in the meantime? Because some weeds are rather nasty and will choke out the good plant. What can we do about that? Well, we can pull up the weeds. Or we can use some weed killer. Amen. But weed killer destroys weeds. But you got to be very careful with weed killer. Well, why is that? It's so it is with the church. Sometimes we think that there are people who don't belong. They do things that aren't very loving. They don't seem to believe in what we believe. They may talk down to their family, talk down to their friends and people they go to church with. They seem like weeds in the middle of good seeds. What do you do? We got to be careful about how we remove them. Look at verse 29. Y'all see it? In verse 29, he says, no, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot
the wheat with them. But watch this, here's the text. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I tell the harvester, first collect the weeds and tie them in bonds to be burned. And then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. The decision to delay removing the weeds from among the wheat is to prevent damage to the wheat. Why? Because the root systems of the two plants may have become entwined. Because and pulling up weed will likely result in pulling up the wheat as well. So Jesus says that maybe that's the best thing to do is to let the weeds be and concentrate on being the best possible wheat that you can be. Jesus said, maybe the best thing that we can do is to concentrate on being the light of the world, the doers of good deeds of the world, that our light and our good deeds outshine the influences of darkness, and our good deeds outdo and overcome the effect of the devil. So Jesus tells us in essence that we shouldn't worry about pulling up the weeds around us. That while they may belong to his enemies and ours, that pulling them out can damage the good plant. But he suggests that we leave the judgment for God to make. See, we don't have the responsibility to judge. God does the judging. We leave the judgment up to God. And so, and concentrate on doing what he asked us to do. And that is produce fruit for Almighty God. But in the meantime, we're stuck. We're stuck with weeds until the harvest. That harvest means the end. Because at judgment day, there'll be no more chances. There are no more options. The crop in the field has no more chance to grow once the sickle or the combine is taken. Its time in the field is gone. It moves on to the next stage. Jesus makes clear what happens to the wheat and the weeds. Look at verse 40. In verse 40, as the weeds are pulled up and burn into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them in the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This is a less a warning, but it's more a message of comfort for the wheat. Because one day, God is going to take everything that hurt us and he'll get rid of it. Everything that marked us for our faith. Every last thing that has brought us misery, there'll be a separation one day between the sheep and the goat. And I don't know about you this morning. There'll be one day no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more problems in heaven. There'll be only be joy in eternal mansion of God's storehouse. But while we are still here, standing in the fields, let us surround ourselves with the things that will strengthen us. Let's dive into the God's word personally, as family, as a family of believers in this congregation. And let God enrich, let God nourish, let God fertilize our faith. And if we sense that weeds are popping up again, pull them up. Get rid of them and say, you are not going to hinder the growth in the Lord. What I challenge you to do, inspect your own life. Don't look at nobody else's life. You look at your life. Inspect your own life. Make sure you are not sowing weeds. Because I guarantee you, judgment day is coming. We're all going to have to stand before God in judgment to give an account of what we have done in this body, whether good or whether it's bad. You may think you're getting away right now, but I got news for you. Judgment day is coming. You're going to have to give an account. God knows what you have done, and God knows what I have done, and we all got to stand before him. Here's the question I want to leave with you today. If the Lord was to come right now and declare time for you is no more, would you be able to stand? Would you be able to stand him and say, and hear him say, come? Or will you hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Prepare for the devil and his angels. You can fool folk all you want to, but you'll never fool God. That's the one you're going to have to answer to. God knows this morning whether you are ready or not to meet him. Now is the time to get your life right with Almighty God. This may be your judgment day today. This may be the last time you have upon the first face of this earth. This may be the last service that you are ever attend. Make sure that when you leave this place today, that you know for surely that if God calls me, I'm ready to meet him. And if you don't have that assurance, if you don't know for sure, you better get right today. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, judgment day is awaiting. God says, today that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5, confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33, then go in water we gave a baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. If you're here a Christian, and you know you haven't been living
as a Christian should. Now is the time to get it right. Come on down to the front and make it right with Almighty God. Don't leave here not knowing, not doubting that I don't know whether I'm going to make it to heaven. You ought to leave here knowing that when God calls me, I'm ready. Don't look at nobody else this morning. This is between you and God. If you needed to get, you need to get yourself right, do it right now. As we stand and sing the song with invitation, don't put it off. Come now.
Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing each and every one of us to rise from our beds this morning, giving us this opportunity to gather together on this first day of the week to partake in another worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. We're also thankful, Heavenly Father, for our brother Skippy, for the lesson that he brought to us this morning, for the time he took to prepare this lesson. We pray that each and every one of us gave him our full and undivided attention. And we pray that that which we have learned today, that we will be able to apply to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation as they continue to tend to the needs of this congregation, to the needs of this building. Pray that you will be with all those that to take the necessary steps to keep each and every one of us safe every time that we enter this building, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will watch over us as we prepare to leave this building. Pray that you will be by our side as we deal with anything that might affect us mentally or emotionally, physically, as we deal with so many changes that have taken place recently, Heavenly Father. And we pray that you will watch over us. Keep each and every one of us safe and healthy. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.